call this meeting of July 12th, 2011 to order. If everyone could please stand for a moment of silence. Thank you. I'd like to invite the boys from Troop 255, Newark United Methodist Church, Alan Buckmeister, Ben Mitchell, and Claude Mitchell, to come on up and lead all of us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Take it away, boys.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, boys. You may be seated. Madam Clerk, can you please call the roll?
Mr. Bell?
Here.
Mr. Cartier?
Here.
Ms. Fuller?
Here.
Mr. Hollins?
Here.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Here.
Mr. Kovac?
Present.
Mr. Powers?
Here.
Mr. Retta?
Here.
Mr. Sheldon?
Here.
Mr. Smiley?
Here.
Mr. Street?
Here.
Mr. Tackett?
Here.
Mr. Weiner?
Here.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 13 present.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Moving on to item B, approval of minutes. Are there any corrections or amendments to the minutes of the meeting of June 28th, 2011?
Motion to approve.
Hearing none, there's a motion for the approval of the minutes. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
The minutes are approved. Moving on to item C, announcements from members of council. Are there any announcements from members of council? Councilman Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to announce that on the 26th of this month, 2 weeks from today, we will have an executive personnel committee meeting, the presentation by Dave Boomershine, who is the actuary for Newcastle County, where we will have begin a discussion on a new pension plan, the plan that is designed to replace the pension plan, as we call it, 3% plan. I encourage all council members to try to make this particular meeting because I know there's going to be an awful lot of questions from our employees. It's a very complex piece of legislation, but I think it's a decent plan, but the devil in the details. It goes before the pension board on Wednesday of next week, and this will be an opportunity for us to hear what the actuary has to say before we take the recess, because after our recess, I think this is going to be tracking right along.
Thank you, Councilman Hollins. Councilman Carter, then Councilman Smiley.
Yes, Mr. President, members of council, I will be tabling ordinance number 11-073 for further legal vetting and communication with the affected communities. Secondly, I'd like to just say that I will be making a motion to suspend the rules after the consent calendar to allow for change in agenda to move ordinance number 11-075, which is about the new council districts, to be voted on, and I would like to recognize the chair of that commission, former City Council President Ted Blunt, and also one of the district commissioners, Terry Wright, who are here in attendance tonight to observe the vote, and I'd like to commend them on their efficient, fair, and complete work that they have accomplished with this plan.
Thank you, Councilman Cartier. Councilman Smiley.
Yes, Mr. President. Thank you. I know an agenda will come out, but I was just wondering if Councilman Hollins had a time for that meeting yet.
Thank you, Councilman. The meeting is typically for personnel executive or at 4:30. However, with the conversation with another council member this afternoon, we are considering asking council to change that to an earlier time. 4:30 seems to be relatively late, and sometimes with the long agendas, it bumps right into the hour for the recess before coming downstairs. So that's another point to discuss with council, but it will be at 4:30, and it will be posted on our calendar.
Thank you very much, Council.
Any other announcements, members of council? Seeing none, moving on to item D, introduction of ordinances. Madam Clerk, please proceed with the introduction of the ordinances.
Ordinance 11077, revised zoning map, St. George's 100, Southside, Boyd's Corner Road, West Side, U.S. 13, north of Greylag Road, Middletown, Delaware, 18.56 acres from S Suburban to CR Commercial Regional and 37.63 acres from S to ST Suburban Transition. Ordinance 11078, revised zoning map, Christiana 100, East Side, Mount Shannon Road, South Side, Barley Mill Road, State Route 141, Wilmington, Delaware, 2.0 acres from OR Office Regional to CN Commercial Neighborhood. Ordinance 11079, amend the pay plan rates of pay for classified service employees represented by the Delaware Public Employees Council 81, the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees Local 1607. Ordinance 11080, amend the pay plan rates of pay for classified service employees represented by the Delaware Public Employees Council 81, the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees Local 3109. Ordinance 11081, amend the annual operating budget, appropriate State of Delaware funding to the Department of Public Safety for the annual FOP pension contribution. Ordinance 11082, to amend compensation for employees of County Council by imposing a health care surcharge.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. All ordinances shall be considered at the July 26th Council meeting, with the exception of those items that require board or commission recommendations. Moving on to item E, reports from select and special committees. Councilwoman Diller.
Yes, this afternoon the Finance Committee met at 1:30. We discussed employee pay plans, contracts for this fiscal year, and a refund for taxes paid in error.
Thank you, Councilwoman Diller. Councilman Sheldon.
Mr. President, on July 5th, we had a special services meeting. We talked about the Pike Creek watershed and a stormwater renovation project upcoming.
Thank you, Councilman Sheldon. Any other Councilman Tackett?
Thank you, Mr. President. Tuesday, July 5th, the Land Use Committee met. We heard a resolution from the plan of the pilot school and also a resolution for the plan of the Odessa campus, and Councilman Cartier talked about some property maintenance code issues in his district.
Thank you, Councilman Tackett. Today in our executive committee meeting, we talked about the four resolutions authorizing the executive to execute contracts with four of the major unions, and we also talked about audio streaming recording of council meetings and committee meetings, as well as other items on the agenda. Any other reports from committees? Seeing none, Councilman Cartier, before we get to item F.
Yes, I would like to make a motion to suspend the rules for the purpose of advancing ordinance number 11-075 forward in the agenda for a vote by council.
Second.
It's been a motion to move ordinance 11-075 up on the calendar. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The agenda has been modified for the purposes of considering ordinance 11-075. Madam Clerk, could you please read in ordinance 11-075 by total only for consideration and hopeful adoption?
Second.
Ordinance 11075. To amend Newcastle County Code Chapter 2 Administration to adopt a redistricting plan after a recommendation and report by the Newcastle County Redistricting Commission.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. At this time, I'd like to call up the previously mentioned the Honorable Ted Blunt, as well as
Terry Wright.
Terry, do you want to come up as well? I just don't want to announce you if you don't want to come up. As well as Terry Wright, another distinguished member of redistricting committee that was able to reach a unanimous 12-0 vote on their redistricting plan. Turn the discussion over to you, Mr. Vaughn.
I don't know what to say other than the mere fact that I want to commend the president, the members of county council for selecting such good representatives to serve on the Newcastle County Redistricting Commission. Their selections and their involvement in the process made it a lot easier for us to do our work, to do it in a timely fashion, and to reach an agreement in a short period of time. None of our meetings lasted more than an hour and a half. All of our meetings started on time, and we had several goals when we started out. The first goal was that we wanted to come together and to make sure that whatever we did, we would do it in a fair and an equitable manner. Number two, we wanted to accept all changes and recommendations from not only members of County Council, but from the public at large.
Number three, we wanted to structure our meetings in such a way that our deliberations could be during a separate period of time, but we also did not want to exclude the public, and so there was a public comment period. We received support from all of the members, but we had some guiding principles. The first guiding principle was that we had to stay within a deviation number of 5 to 6%, which meant that the districts had to fall within the range of 42 to 47, 48,000. Number four, we also did not want to infringe on any of the current members that are seated as members of County Council. And so we looked at all of the districts in such a way that, number one, none of them would be disenfranchised because you're currently in a position, and number two, it would not have been fair to do that. The final point was we also wanted to make sure that we had bipartisan support. So that meant, you know, talking to Republicans as well as independents as well as Democrats in terms of coming to consensus in terms of how we build the new redistricting plan. With all of that in mind, we were able to meet, gather input, get suggestions from members of County Council, get suggestions from members of the community, and also suggestions from those on the commission. But the rule was, if you wanted to present a plan, you would have to understand the plan, and you would have to make sure that it was within the margin of deviation. And those that had plans that came forward, they were able to do that. And that was a simple rule because it made it a lot easier for us. Because the moment you moved one line, it triggered a line throughout the entire county, and everybody was aware of that. And so it meant a great deal of diplomacy on some occasions where the tweaking might have created some problems. And so we had a staff person like Jim, or we had another staff person like Renee, or we had the person from the Department of Elections, Howard Scholes, who could actually show us the impact of the decisions that we would make. And because of that, it made our jobs a lot easier. And things went extremely quick, extremely fast, and the meetings were well attended. And in the end, we were able to have 12 members to vote yes on the plan. There would have been a 13th member, but that 13th member was sick. But he did call in. He indicated to his council representative that he would not be in attendance. He also indicated to me as the chair that he would not be in attendance. But he concurred with the plan that was drawn. And again, I want to thank Terry, who was more or less the right hand to me, Jim and Renee that work for County Council, excellent support staff, and Howard Scholes from the Department of Elections. And also all of the members of County Council, again, for selecting such good representatives to serve on this commission. And our goal was to try and be fair and to address the issue of equity and make it as equal as possible. And we were able to do that in a short period of time. Again, good people mean short meetings. All of our meetings were no longer than an hour and 15 minutes. And all of the members stayed extremely focused during the process. So again, that's pretty much the comments. And again, our final report included the legislation that you created, that created the commission. It created the correspondence that was sent to all of the commission members, indicating that we would be serving on the commission. And then we published all of our commission agendas in advance so people would know that we were meeting. All of our minutes were public for those that wanted to read in terms of what we were doing at our commission meetings. And after all of that, we came up with a final map after looking at three distinctly different maps, but they were all able to be tweaked in such a way that it would not infringe on anybody else. And at our final meeting, all of the members that were present voted on it. And again, I'd like to thank the News Journal for their coverage of our meetings. You know, they came, they saw what we were doing, they saw that it was open to the public. So if anybody wanted to come, they could have come. If they wanted to make a comment, they could have made a comment, whether it was an email, whether it was a letter, or showing up at the commission meeting. So the meetings were open, and it was fair, and it was balanced. And that's pretty much our report.
Thank you very much, Mr. Blunt, for not only your comments tonight, but your work on the redistricting commission. And Mr. Wright, you came all the way up there. Would you like to make any comments?
not really.
They did it.
It was, you know, it was. I thought it was a fair process. We worked very hard, and we appreciated the support that we got from every member of this council and from the public.
Again, thank you for your work. Members of council, Councilman Weiner, have questions for, and then Councilman Smiley, for Mr. Blunt or Mr. Wright?
Just some general comments, Mr. President. Council President Blunt, if I may use that title, and Mr. Wright, I want to applaud you and your leadership and the whole commission for a job well done. I thought you stayed true to the direction that you received from the Department of Elections to follow natural boundaries to create reasonable, reasoned districts that didn't split communities. It's in sharp contrast to the process that goes on in the state legislature, to your credit. And having sat in on two of the meetings, I was impressed with the leadership both of you exhibited, as well as the sense of collaboration amongst the entire bipartisan group. I hope that this will be a model for other governments in our state to use.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Councilman Smiley?
I'm going to open with an apology for this, because it's for me personally. I appreciate all the work you've done. But I was publicly, personally accused of trying to influence the process. So in public and on the record, I'd like to ask you, did the members of the commission receive a letter from me trying to influence their position in any way?
Not to influence our position in any way, no. I think by the mere fact that you identified independent people to serve on the commission, that spoke for you. If anything came to us, it would have had to have come through one of the members on the commission.
Thank you very much.
Councilman Hollins?
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to add my appreciation to President Blunt as well, and to Terry Wright and all of the commissioners who served. I did ask President Blunt to serve on the commission, and he went on to be elected by the other members of that commission. And when I did ask him, I want to say that he agreed without hesitation to volunteer for this position. But I also want to thank members of council who really conducted themselves in a very civil manner. Oftentimes, redistricting, reapportionment become a very contentious issue. It is a necessary political phenomenon that we have to deal with. For some members of council, it's the first time having to deal with this. But I think overall, in the speed that we've done it, without any real glitches from the public, and we like to talk about transparency around here, I think that this particular process was as transparent as it gets. And I'm waiting for someone from the public to commend us for having such an open process that was, quite frankly, done by the commission without influence from any member of this council.
Thank you, Councilman Hollins. I think that was a challenge, by the way. Any other member of council, Councilman Bell?
Yes, Mr. President. I move that we give a rising vote of thanks and appreciation to President Blunt and to Terry Wright and the entire commission for a job well done.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Any other questions so we can let these gentlemen sit down and to see our vote on this matter? Thank you very much. All right. Any other member of council having any other questions or comments on this ordinance? Seeing none, I'll open the floor to the public. Any member of the public wishing to speak on the subject of this ordinance, please come forward, sign in, line up to the left, and you will be given 3 minutes to address council on this issue. Please try to remain non-repetitive of earlier comments. Make sure that your comments are on point to the ordinance at hand and refrain from any disparaging comments about particular members of council. Please state your name for the record.
Lisa Snyder. I would just like to try to address a couple issues to council as well as council president. I understand that you all are very happy with the redistricting and they have done an efficient job. Unfortunately, I have been under the weather, so I have been unavailable for the last couple months. My understanding is that there was 3 meetings held, and I find that the input from county council for redistricting presents a conflict of interest. It should have been a bipartisan group that was voted or elected, not handpicked by county council. I resent Mr. Holland's comment about glitches from the public. I find that demeaning because I come here to county council to make sure that I'm aware of what's going on in council, what's going on in my communities, and I don't think that I'm a glitch. I wanted to make sure that I'm from Christiana, and in the past we had three different county council representatives representing just the small little village of Christiana. And there were people who felt that we should only have one voice in council. And I disagreed with that. And I always felt that having three voices on council for such a small area gave us a diversity. And we have lost that. So I'm not happy with the redistricting, and I need to have my voice heard. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Snyder. If I could comment, and then I'll call on Councilman Smiley. The just for the public record, the redistricting commission, by a requirement by statute, has to be what I would call a bipartisan commission, no more than seven members of any one particular party. Every council member had to appoint a representative to serve on that to comprise this committee. And I think, as we've heard President Blunt state, that he wasn't aware of any direct, you know, influence over the committee by any particular council member. It is a difficult process, and it is a unavoidably political process. But I think rather than have the council members do this directly, the system was devised to have representatives. Now, certainly that system, you know, no system is ever perfect, but I think the way that the system is set up to be designed to be a relatively nonpartisan commission is helpful. And if there's a way that we could tweak that further in the future, I would certainly welcome that input. Councilman Smiley.
Yes, Mr. President. You pretty much said what I wanted to say, except I want to be very specific and clarify. The statute that sets the commission is under state law. The prior council nor this council had anything to do with setting up the process. The process is under state law. We were mandated by what we had to do. So any changes, down in Dover. Thank you.
Councilman Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. President. I want to apologize to Mrs. Snyder if she took my comment personal. I certainly did not intend to offend her or anyone else for that matter. I know there will be disagreements, but I think one out of nearly 600,000 people, we've done pretty good. But when I use the term glitch, it wasn't in any way derogatory to her or any other person. Oftentimes when we talk about mistakes or errors or corrections, we refer to it as a tweak or a glitch. So certainly I apologize if she took that personally. That was not the intent at all.
Thank you, Councilman Holland. All right, any other comments from members of the public on this ordinance? Seeing none, I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, could you please call the roll on Ordinance 11-075?
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Shelton?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 13. Yes.
Thank you very much, Madam Clerk. Ordinance 11-075 is approved. And thank you once again to the Redistricting Commission and the leadership. Councilman Cartier.
Yes, Mr. President, motion to return council to its regular rules.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to return council to its regularly scheduled program. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? All right, we will resume our agenda in its regular order. Going back to item F, consent calendar, and there are no items on this evening's consent calendar. Moving to item G, presentations. Any member of council wish to make a presentation at this time? Seeing none, moving on to items removed from the consent calendar. Item H, consideration of resolutions removed from the consent calendar and other resolutions. Resolution 11-091, Councilman Weiner.
Thank you, Mr. President. I ask that R-11091 be read by title only and placed before Council for its consideration and adoption.
Resolution 11091, Plaintiff Pilot School, Brandywine 100, south side of Woodlawn Road, 340 feet west of Rocky Run Parkway Development. Develop a 49.03-acre parcel with 75,364 square feet school, 1,280 square foot barn, and associated site improvements, SE zoning.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Councilman Weiner.
Thank you. I intend to support this approval, this record plan submission. The applicant has worked well with the community, with my office. The information which I had requested was promptly delivered. There was community opposition, but the concerns have been properly addressed. There are no level of service deficiencies, and there will be improvements on Woodlawn Road from Rocky Run Parkway, which will satisfy DLDOT's requirements and also well serve our community. And with that, I'll open it up for additional comments from other council members.
Any member of council have any questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll open the floor to the public for comment. Any member of the public wishing to speak on this resolution, please come forward at this time. Seeing none, I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on Resolution 11-091.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call bill 13. Yes.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Resolution 11-091 is approved. Moving on to Resolution... Thank you, Mr. Eisler. Moving on to Resolution 11-092. Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Resolution Number 11-092 be read by title only and placed before Council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Resolution 11092, plan of Odessa Campus, Epiphany 100, south side of Old State Road, 1,200 feet south of Taylor's Bridge Road, construct a 571,193 square foot school campus, including Childhood Center, Elementary School, Middle School, High School, Natatorium, Environmental Center, Fieldhouse, and Associated Parking, Athletic Fields, and Site Improvements, S Zoning.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. President. This particular resolution was discussed in detail at our last land use meeting. However, for the record, we should applaud the efforts of the State Board of Education, and in particular the Appaquinimic School District, for this particular futuristic plan. It is a plan that will provide an educational infrastructure in the southern part of Newcastle County to meet increased density, increased growth over a number of future years. It is not without some tweaking and work that will need to be done along the way, but we look forward to the challenge working closely with the state, and as I said, in particular with the Appaquinimic School District, as this project is being built out.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Any member of council have any questions or comments regarding this resolution? Other than what exactly is a natatorium?
Natatorium.
Could we get a legal opinion on it?
It's a swimming pool.
No.
Swimming pool.
Any member of the public wishing to speak on this resolution? And we make light, but just a quick note, I'm very impressed by the plan and the manner of potential development of the school into a multi-grade complex with multi-uses. It's a very significant and smart design. Seeing no public comment, close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on Resolution 11-092.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call bill 13, yes.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Resolution 11-092 is approved. Moving on to Resolution 11-093, Councilman Weiner.
Thank you. I ask that 11-093 be placed before Council for its consideration and adoption.
Resolution 11093, consenting to the appointment of Tate Bose to the Newcastle County Library Advisory Subcommittee. to Community Services Board.
Councilman Warner.
Thank you. Kay Bowes happens to live in the 2nd Council District, so I have the pleasure and honor of introducing this resolution. She presented impeccable credentials to this council upon review, and she will serve with distinction our Library Advisory Subcommittee to the Community Services Board once approved.
Thank you, Councilman Warner. Any Councilman Hollins?
Just a question, Mr. President. Is there a requirement for an interview prior to appointing a new person to the board?
Yes, there is. There's not a requirement for this.
I believe that the answer that we've received from council to council is that there's no absolute requirement in the rules, but indeed it is common practice.
Well, I want to push the issue. I just thought there's been some concern previously whether someone is interviewed when they're coming on the board for the first time, but I just wanted to point that out.
Point of information?
Councilman Weiner.
Am I mistaken? Has she not come before us for...
I'm not really certain. It's your appointment. I realize she wasn't available for the last meeting. I don't know if this is a renewal or of her appointment or it's a new appointment.
This appears to be an appointment, and in abundance of caution, President Pro Tem, I'm going to table it so that we can research that and make sure that she's come before us for an interview. Thank you for bringing
that
to
my
attention.
All right, just wanted to confirm that we didn't have any information saying that she was here. We do not. Councilman Smiley, did you have a question or a second?
No, I think you covered. I was just going to clarify that we council as a whole agreed that new appointments would come before us for an interview. Reappointments, an email would be sent to all council members, and if any council member wished an interview, it would then take place for reappointment. That's all. Just okay. Clarifying the process we had all agreed to.
I think that's consistent with what is contained within the rules, and I appreciate Councilman Weiner moving the table. Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Well, thank you for bringing that to our attention, Councilman Hollins, and thank you for tabling that, Councilman Weiner. Moving on, Resolution 11-094, Councilman Powers?
Sure.
Or Councilman
that Resolution 11-094 be read by title only and placed before Council for consideration and adoption.
Second.
Resolution 11-094, amend the capital program, appropriate $17,500 of State of Delaware funding. Generate a Division of Watershed Stewardship for the Stormwater Basin Renovation Project.
Thank you very much. Councilman Powers.
Yes, most of it's in the title. We have a couple ordinances that will be later that pertain to the same thing for the Pike Creek Watershed. This appropriation also appropriate state funds will be $11 million. It's just removing these funds around to be able to use for Pike Creek Watershed. We have two ordinances coming up, Tim and I, that pertain to the same thing.
Any questions, comments, members of council? Seeing none, open the floor to the public for comment. Any member of the public wishing to make comment on this resolution? Seeing none, close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on Resolution 11-094.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Mr. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Mr. Patrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call goes 13 minutes.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Resolution 11-094 is approved. Moving on, Resolution 11-095. Ask the clerk to read this resolution by title only for its consideration and adoption by council.
Second.
Resolution 11-095, authorizing the county executive to sign the Delaware Public Employees Council 81, the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, AFSCME, Local 3109, Collective Bargaining Agreement.
Thank you very much, Madam Clerk. And before we get into any substantive discussion, I would like to move to amend
Resolution 11-095 to replace Exhibit A with Exhibit A1. I understand from our discussions in council that the administration has confirmed that these amendments to this resolution are non-substantive.
Second.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Second. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All right. I would like to call at this time to the up to the podium, Vince McConey, and probably also Mr. Danberg, to address any comments or questions about this particular resolution. This resolution is a first in a series of four resolutions that authorizes the county executive to execute certain contracts between and amongst the collective bargaining agreements between the unions and the county. And Mr. McConey, if you would state your name for the record and briefly describe this and maybe the package of four ordinances as well.
Certainly. Vince McConey, Executive Office. This ordinance ratifies the two-year contract between the county and FCV Local 3109. And primarily, the basic thrust of it is there is a 2%, 2.5% concession granted by the union to the county.
And that 2.5% concession is represented in a number of different cuts realized by the particular union?
Yes. In this case, there are four primary components. First, there is a health care surcharge of $117 per month per employee. Second, there will be no employee reclassifications for the next 2 years. Third, for those employees who occasionally work between 35 and 40 hours a week, they will not be paid overtime. Instead, they will accrue comp time. And fourth, there are two provisions for new employees only. First of all, there is a multi-tier retiree health care benefit that would begin at age 60. A county employee of this local, again, hired after this contract is approved, who served for less than 15 years, retired with less than 15 years, their county would not pay for their health care. If the employee worked for 15 years before retiring, the county would pay for 50% of their health care. If the employee worked for 17 and a half years before retiring, the county would pay 75% of their health care. And if the employee retired with 20 years of service, the county would pay for 100% of their health care. In addition, new employees will work under a 20-year pay plan with 2.5% steps.
Thank you very much. Councilman Smiley.
Yes, I know Mr. McConey doesn't mean anything derogatory by it. I just want to clarify something. And it's a matter of semantics, but it's a semantic that has bothered me since I was 17 years old, and that is that the concessions were granted by the membership of the union, i.e. county employees. I just, when you say the union, you know, it's always portrayed as this big boogeyman. The union is made up of people, and in this case, these people work for the county, and they're the ones that voted to approve this. It wasn't just their leadership. So I just want to clarify that on the record, that's who we're talking about.
Thank you, Councilman Smiley. And following up for the record, and I think this holds true for each one of these four resolutions, but to get it on the record, in exchange for the some of the concessions offered by the members of the union who are county employees, they received three, or part of this package, so they're receiving three furlough days.
That is correct. The membership receives actually two things, a no layoff guarantee for the duration of the contract and three furlough days for each of the 2 years.
And this three furlough days is basically in exchange for the 2.5% salary, which is dedicated amongst those various health care commitment and other cost-saving measures.
That is correct.
Any member of council having questions for Mr. McConey on Resolution 11-095? Seeing none, I'll open the floor to the public. Any member of the public wishing to, any other questions for Mr. McConey? If not, if you could probably stay up here for the next few. Any other member of council having any other questions about this resolution? Seeing none, I'll open the floor to public for comment. Any member of the public wishing to comment on this resolution, please do so at this time. Seeing none, close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on Resolution 11-095 as amended.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cardiel?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Mr. Patrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett? Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 12 yes, 1 absent.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Resolution 11-095 is approved. Moving on to Resolution 11-096. Madam Clerk, could you please read in by title only Resolution 11-096 for its consideration and adoption by Council?
Second.
Resolution 11-096, authorizing the County Executive to sign the Delaware Public Employees County Council 81. The American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, AFSCME Local 1607 Collective Bargaining Agreement.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Again, this is the second in a package of four resolution authorizing the County Executive to sign employment contracts between the members of the county government who are members of the union and the county. I'd also like to call back to the stand Vince Piccone, if you could introduce yourself and briefly describe this particular resolution, which deals with Local 1607.
Vince Piccone, Executive Office. This is a two-year contract between the members of AFSCME Local 1607 and the county. The employees agreed to a 2.5% concession, which consists of three basic elements. First of all, a 2% health care surcharge. Second, an agreement that for employees who work between 35 and 40 hours a week, they would not be paid. They would accrue comp time. And third, the callback time would be changed from a 4-hour minimum callback to a 2-hour minimum callback. In exchange, the employees of the local will receive three furlough days each year and a no-layoff guarantee for the duration of the contract.
Thank you, Mr. Marconi. And I want to get a question about the amendment in a minute. Any other questions, comments of Mr. Marconi for this particular resolution? Again, I'll unfortunately have to say this for all these resolutions because it's a matter of record for each one. The concessions that are have been offered by the members of the union who are county employees, total 2.5% equate to 2.5% salary for this particular union and collective bargaining agreement?
That's correct.
Okay. Any other questions, comments for Mr. Marconi? I would like to call up, is Mr. Danberg still close by? I'd like to call up Mr. Danberg at this time for the purposes of offering an amendment and to testifying on the amendment that I'm going to make. There has been please state your name for the record.
Ed Danberg, County Law Department.
Mr. Danberg, as was with Resolution 11-095, there's been a substitute to the exhibit. Exhibit A has been replaced by Exhibit A1. Can you please briefly explain to us the differences or difference in the substitute resolution?
Between the time that the contract was provided to council and this evening, there have been some steps taken, ratification of the contract by the union, the union had come back and asked to change from the menu of the options that were available in the contract from a 2% salary reduction to a 2% health care surcharge, which fiscally makes no difference in terms of the way the county deals with it, but it provides a tax and advantage to the individual employees. So that's the primary switch. There are some formatting changes that are not relevant.
So the only substantive change of this of the Exhibit A to A1 is this change from the allocation of the 2% pay to the 2% health care.
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you very much. In light of that, I would like to make a motion to amend Resolution 11-096 to replace Exhibit A with what we have been provided as Exhibit A1.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Resolution 11-096 is before us as amended. Any other questions, comments from members of council on Resolution 11-096 as amended? Any questions, members of public, on this resolution? Seeing none, I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on Resolution 11-096 as amended.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cardiel?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll card reveals 13 yes.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Resolution 11-096 is approved. Moving on to the third of four, Resolution 11-097. Madam Clerk, could you please read by title only Resolution 11-097 for its consideration and adoption by Council?
Second.
Resolution 11-097, authorizing the County Executive to sign the Delaware Public Employees Council 81, the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, AFSCME Local 3911, Collective Bargaining Agreement.
Thank you very much, Madam Clerk. We'll go back to considering the amendments first, so we're going to have to get Mr. McConey back and forth. Mr. Danberg, could you please come up and state your name for the record?
Ed Danberg, County Law Department.
And we have again been presented with a new exhibit, Exhibit A1, replacing Exhibit A. If you could please tell us the substance or lack of substantive changes in Exhibit A1.
In this case, there are no substantive changes from the original contract that was submitted, simply the change from redlining to non-redlining.
In light of the lack of substantive changes, I move that Resolution 11-097 be amended to incorporate Exhibit A1. Motion is made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Resolution 11-097 is before us as amended with Exhibit A1. Mr. Danberg, the floor is again yours. Mr. McConey, the floor is again yours. Please state your name for the record.
A lot of people get us confused. Vince McConey, Executive Office. This is another two-year agreement between the members of Local 3911 and the county. Again, provide the members have agreed to a 2.5% concession. In this case, taken entirely in the form of a health care surcharge of $114 a month. In return, the employees have been granted 3 furlough days each year and receive a no layoff guarantee for the duration of the contract.
Thank you very much, Mr. McConey. Question has been asked to me, which you answered in committee, but for the record before us, this concession has been made in a dollar amount rather than a percentage amount. The dollar amount that you mentioned is equal to a overall 2.5% reduction in salary expenses.
Yes, it is.
Okay. And that was the choice of the bargaining unit, the members of the county union who are members chose that pathway.
The members chose this alternative, yes.
Okay. Any other questions, comments from members of council? Seeing none, open the floor to the public for questions, comments. Seeing none, close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on Resolution 11-097 as amended.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll card reveals 13 yes.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Resolution 11-097 as amended is approved. Moving on, Resolution 11-098. Madam Clerk, could you please read the
Resolution 11-098 by title only for consideration and adoption by council.
Resolution 11-098, authorizing the county executive to sign the Delaware Public Employees Council 81 American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees AFSCME Local 459 Collective Bargaining Agreement.
Thank you very much, Madam Clerk. For purposes of getting the amendment out of the way, why don't we have Mr. Danberg come forward? And again, we have received a revised appendix A1 to revise appendix A. Mr. Danberg, could you state your name for the record and briefly describe any differences in between the exhibits?
Ed Danberg, Law Department. The change in the exhibit in this case is from not only from red line, but the union came back after the initial contract was submitted and requested that the healthcare surcharge be put into a side letter as opposed to being in the wording of the contract itself. That has no legal implications in the effectiveness of it, so we agreed to do that. It's purely a question of format, so we agreed to do it, and here we are.
Councilman Smiley.
Yeah. Mr. Denver,
yes.
I guess I missed this in committee, the side letter. But the side letter, is it clearly notated in the side letter that it's for a two-year period?
Yes.
Okay, because I'm aware of arbitration rulings that they have to be renewed as well as with the contract with a letter, so I just want to make sure. Okay. Thank you very much.
And to be clear, Mr. Danberg, I think you stated this in committee very clearly, and I think you said it already tonight, but in your opinion that there is no potential adverse legal consequence from removing the health care surcharge and putting it in a separate document?
No.
Okay. Any other questions, comments from Mr. Danberg? Thank you very much, Mr. Danberg. I would like to invite Mr. McConey back to the stand for the final out of four resolutions. Please state your name for the record and explain briefly Resolution 11-098 for that affects the members of Local 459.
Vince McConey, Executive Office. This is another two-year agreement between the members of Local 459 and the county in which the employees have agreed to a 2.5% concession. In this case, taken entirely in form of a health care surcharge of $22.62 per week, expressed in on a weekly basis because this local is paid on a weekly basis. In return, the employees received a no-layoff guarantee for the 2 years and three furlough days each year.
And again, the amount coming out weekly, it still represents collectively the 2.5% reduction, equivalent to a 2.5% reduction in pay.
Yes, it does.
Okay, and this is the last of the four resolutions. These cost reductions represent somewhere in the neighborhood of about 1.7 out of a $2.3 million necessary reduction. And that's because why? The last union is yet to finalize its...
The last of the five major unions, the FOP, we are still negotiating.
And do you expect the remaining approximately $600,000 in necessary cost reductions to be achieved from the negotiations with that union and the remaining two minor unions?
That is our goal.
Okay. All right. Any other members of council have questions, comments on Resolution 11-098 as amended?
Second.
Oh, it's Councilman Street. Thank you.
Yes, Mr. President. I figured I'd wait till all were complete, but while I am very, very much concerned about the status of the FOP negotiations, I think I felt it necessary to take time and publicly commend the administration for having 4 out of 5. That puts you on the honor roll in most systems, and I think you've done very well expeditiously. Budget was presented in March, and we've got contracts in hand in July. So, you know, great job. I hope we can get situated with the FOP. But, you know, when things go well, I think the administration should be commended because certainly we have no problem if things don't go very well during the others. So I think this is very, very well done with the four. And obviously, you know, 4 out of 5 have given and given significantly. and I know that's going to have to be considered going forward in the process. Thank you.
Any other questions? At this time, because I'm not sure I did it earlier, I will move to amend Resolution 11-098 to incorporate Exhibit A1 and replace Exhibit A in light of the lack of substantive changes.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Resolution 11-098 as amended is before us. Any other questions, comments from members of council? Any questions, comments from members of the public? Seeing none, close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on Resolution 11-098.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cardiac?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 13. Yes.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Resolution 11-098 is approved. Thank you, Mr. McConey. Thank you, Mr. Danberg. Moving on, Resolution 11-099, Councilman Smiley.
Councilwoman Diller.
Councilwoman Diller.
Yes, I'd ask that Resolution 11-099 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Resolution 11-099, approving the refund of taxes paid in error.
Councilwoman Diller.
Yes, as you can see in this resolution, Christiana Care Health Services overpaid taxes by $69,412.95. This resolution is needed to refund the taxes, and I am doing this resolution because it's so deeply painful to my co-chair, but be brave, Councilman Smiley, be brave.
I need EMS.
Any questions, comments from members of council on this resolution? Seeing none. Questions, comments from members of the public? Seeing none, close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on Resolution 11-099.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 13. Yes.
Thank you very much, Madam Clerk. Resolution 11-099 is approved. Moving on to 11-100. Councilman Smiley.
Councilwoman Diller.
Councilwoman Diller.
Yes, I ask that Resolution 11-100 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Resolution 11-100, authorizing the execution of certain contracts.
Thank you very much, Madam Clerk. Councilwoman Diller.
Yes, as you can see, this resolution contains 16 contracts ranging from youth programs, IT, and communication services, grantees of federal home funds, as well as the conservation district. The total of those 16 contracts are $2.1 million, and we discussed this the variety of contracts in the Finance Committee this afternoon.
Thank you very much, Councilwoman Diller. Any members of council have any questions, comments about this resolution? Seeing none, open the floor to the public. Any member of the public wishing to speak on the subject of this resolution, please step forward at this time. Seeing none, I will close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on Resolution 11-100.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 13. Yes.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Resolution 11-100 is approved. Moving on to item I, ordinances. Ordinance 11-069. Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that ordinance number 11-069 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second. Ordinance 11-069, amend the grants budget appropriate federal emergency management agency FEMA funding to emergency management for emergency planning and operations.
Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. President. This ordinance would amend the grants budget by appropriating an additional $95,000 in federal funding to the FY 2011 Emergency Management Performance Grant. These funds come to us from the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, to Newcastle County's Emergency Management Office for further emergency planning and operations for Newcastle County.
Thank you very much, Councilman Bell. And to reiterate, these are not county funds, but federal funds.
That is correct.
Any other questions, comments, members of council? Seeing none, open the floor to the public for comment on Ordinance 11-069. Seeing none, close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on Ordinance 11-069.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Shelton?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
President of the Roll Carville's 13? Yes.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Ordinance 11-069 is approved. Moving on to Ordinance 11-070, Councilman Sheldon.
Yes, Mr. President, with the approval of council, of course, I'd like to make a motion to consolidate ordinances 11-070 and 11-071, as they are both not only companion pieces, but must be voted on and approved, one and all.
Second.
Ordinance 11-070, amend the annual operating budget, reduce special services operating budget, provide funding for the county match for the pilot watershed Pike Creek grant. Ordinance 11-071, amend the grants budget, appropriate funds to the pilot watershed Pike Creek grant for the Department of Special Services.
Councilman Sheldon, ordinances 11-070 and 11-071 are before us.
Okay, that was approved.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. yes, Mr. Chair. Both of these go with pass-through grants from DENREC and from the state of Delaware. We will be matching, special services will be matching, taken out of the annual operating budget, put it into contractual services of $25,000, with the state of Delaware putting in $35,000 for the total cost estimate of around $85,000. That's going to run, so one-time cost that runs through April 30th of 2012. It's a grant from the pilot watershed, which we must do to go through and make sure we're EPA and DENREC committed.
Thank you, Councilman Sheldon. Any questions or comments for either of these ordinances for the sponsor? Seeing none, any questions, comments from members of the public on ordinances 11-070 and 071? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please call the roll on ordinances 11-070 and ordinance 11-071.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Shelton?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 13. Yes.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Ordinance 11-070 and Ordinance 11-071 are approved. Moving on, Ordinance 11-072, Councilman Sheldon.
Did we already do this, Bill?
Well, it was a resolution.
This was the resolution that was related to the...
I'll pass this to Mr. Powers.
All right, Councilman Powers, back to you.
I move that Ordinance 11-072 be read by title only and placed before council for consideration and adoption.
Second.
Ordinance 11-072, amend the capital budget, appropriate $17,500 of state funding to the stormwater basin renovation project.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Councilman Powers.
Yes, this is $17,500 for the Westwood Stormwater Retrofit Project, which is in Mill Creek. It's all tied to the this pretty much the same area as the other two. And I guess there's a new project that includes appropriations for state funding will be $11.9 million. So they're spending a lot of money up in this area. But that's what it is.
Thank you, Councilman Sheldon and Councilman Powers, excuse me. And this is state funding, not county funding, correct?
Yes.
Any member of the council have any questions, comments on this ordinance 11-072?
Seeing none, open the floor to the public. Any member of the public wishing to speak on subject of Ordinance 11-072, please step forward at this time. Seeing no comment, close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on Ordinance 11-072.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovacs?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Rettle?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
President, the roll call reveals 13. Yes.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Ordinance 11-072 is approved. Ordinance 11-073, Councilman Cartier.
Yes, Mr. President, members of council, I'd like Ordinance number 11-073 to be read by title only, and I will be motioning to place it on the table after it's read into the record.
Second. Ordinance 11073 to revise Chapter 7 of the Newcastle County Code, also known as the Property Maintenance Code, regarding instant ticketing.
Councilman Cartier.
Motion to table.
Second.
All motion's been made to table Ordinance 11-073. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Ordinance 11-073 is tabled.
Mr. President?
Yeah, Councilman
Cartier. Just for the record, we're going to be doing further legal vetting in council with our council, and also, going back to the affected communities, the Village of the Ardens, to talk with those folks about this ordinance. But I do intend in the future to bring this off the table for a vote.
Thank you, Councilman Cartier, for thorough vetting of this ordinance before it comes before us for a vote. Ordinance 11-075 has already been voted on. Moving on, Ordinance 11-020, Councilman Retta.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think we have Ordinance 11-020 read by title only, and I will be tabling it.
Ordinance 11020, revised Chapter 8, Nonconforming Situations of Chapter 40 of the Newcastle County Code, also known as Unified Development Code, or UDC, regarding redevelopment.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Councilman Retta.
Table, please.
We have a motion to table Ordinance 11-020 and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Ordinance 11-020 is tabled. Moving on to item number J, time-sensitive congratulatory resolutions. I do not have any on my agenda. Is any member of council aware of any time-sensitive or honorary resolutions? Seeing none, moving on to item K, introduction consideration of emergency ordinances. Again, I am not aware of any. Any member of council? Seeing none, moving on to item L, public comment. Does any member of public wish to address council at this time? If so, please step forward. But before you do, I'm sorry. I see a member of council, Mr. Dunn. I'm sorry, Mr. Brandy, if you could hold on a second. Councilman Weiner?
Yes, I'd like to take a moment, Council President, to address council, if I may, on an important subject. The subject to which I would like to address is the subject of redevelopment. Press has, I think, inaccurately described the Retta-Tackett Ordinance 11-020 and the Weiner Ordinance Substitute 2 to 11-026 as competing ordinances. That's not my view, and I don't believe it's the view of the co-sponsors, Councilman Retta and Tackett. In fact, I'm very pleased that there's been a great collaboration between the co-sponsors, Councilman Retta and Tackett, and myself in sharing ideas to come up with the best possible resolution to the subject of redevelopment, which was initiated by another Councilman Sheldon last fall. I encourage the co-sponsors in my conversations with them to please defer placing this matter on the agenda for a vote at the next council meeting. As I previously stated, it's not my intent to attempt to rush my draft to council, but rather to seek thoughtful comments from the County Planning Board, the Land Use Department, and the State Planning Office on the concepts in my draft for the benefit of the co-sponsors of 020 and council's consideration. I'm pleased that my draft received positive comments from the State Planning Office, which I incorporated into my substitute 2 to 11-026. But it's very clear that Council Redentak and I all have the same goal in mind, as well as other council members, and that is to come up with solutions to the fact that pendulums swing back and forth. And it seems on redevelopment, through four iterations of redevelopment going back to 2002, the pendulum may have swung a little bit too far. It's our collective goal to bring that pendulum back into more of a balance. Now, the Planning Board did hear both the 020, and then this week they heard the public hearing on 026 sub 2. The Planning Board has its business meeting next Tuesday, July 19th at 9 in the morning, at which time it indicated in its previous deliberations that they were going to consider all the ordinances, including Councilman Sheldon, Redentak and mine, to make a recommendation to Council on the best ideas for Council's consideration. It's my respectful request to the co-sponsors and to all of Council. Let's not rush the judgment now. I will be away personally at the National Association of Counties Conference for a week on a council-approved public opportunity to hear ideas that governments are coming up with for solutions. And I personally won't be available. But more importantly, for the public's benefit, introducing a substitute and then voting on it 2 weeks later really gives very short time to the public to analyze a very complicated subject. And with the Planning Board about to come up within the next, I guess it'll be 30 days or so before they have a written recommendation on all of the ideas on redevelopment, would really deny council and the public that opportunity to benefit from their thoughts as well. I also think it'd be advisable for a 020 as whatever substitute is put forward to be transmitted to the Planning Board for comment, and maybe even as well to the state land use professional planners and traffic engineers who had expressed major concerns about 020 in its plus report. With that, I again thank and applaud all the other council members that have been involved in this issue. As you know, I've put in an inordinate amount of time. We can't become engaged in all issues, but this is an issue that I and other council persons have felt it's important, so I've just taken the time to do that. Thanks.
Thank you, Councilman Monard. Councilman Cartier?
Yes, very briefly, I would be personally remiss if I did not personally thank my district appointee to the Redistricting Commission, Terry Wright. I just want to thank him on behalf of all the citizens of Newcastle County for his hard work in the Redistricting Commission and working to come up with the other members with a really great redistricting plan that is both fair to the public and equitable to the members of council. Thank you, Terry.
Thank you,
Josh. I didn't know if you were going to stand or anything.
Redeemed, John.
Any other comments from members of council before we invite the public up to speak? I'm sorry, Mr. Franny, please sign in and welcome to the podium. You know the rules, but please, you have 3 minutes to address council. Please refrain from any personal attacks and duplicative comments. Please keep your questions civil and you do not have a yellow light tonight, but council to council and myself will be waving wildly when you approach your 3 minutes. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Bill Franey. I'm president of the Milltown Limestone Civic Alliance. I just hot on my thunder stolen by Councilman Weiner. One of the things I did here at the Planning Board was a missing thanks or a good for the good of the order. To council members, I'm passing on what I heard from state representatives and some other public civic leaders. For council itself, you put up with a lot, you deal with a lot, and we do appreciate you representing us, not just my organization, in trying to deal with council business. I wanted you to know that we do try to do the right things, even though we are often focused on our own local community needs. The Milltown Square commercial rezoning issue reinforced the need to work more closely with DelDOT. Many of you wish the state legislators and the public would turn some of their energy towards DelDOT. I realize that our state representatives have to do the heavy lifting regarding changes in how DelDOT manages traffic congestion, performs traffic studies, and funds capital plans. I and the other civic leaders have been working with state legislators and legal resources to find ways to make DelDOT perform better. As you know, some of the regulations just do not work well in New Castle County or are not enforced in planning and operation. During the course of recent years' land use rezoning and redevelopment approvals, the public has been more vocal about how the traffic is impacted by commercial and high-density residential infill throughout northern New Castle County. Even when a development is in more rural areas, there are often still major traffic and people transport issues to be resolved with DelDOT and perhaps with WMAPCO as well. I know that the county is not directly responsible for the road system and how people choose to transport themselves from place to place. However, land use approvals with any significant traffic-generating outcome, whether new development or redevelopment, and especially when a commercial rezoning is involved, should require a traffic impact study of appropriate scope. There are other environmental and stormwater management concerns that should be adequately studied as well. The list goes on, to be sure. The bottom line is that council should be presented with all of the summarized facts when the developer's application is presented for an approval vote. That includes TIS information and the plan for funding recommended improvements. I understand the county government is trying to incentivize developers as one way to help the sagging economy by creating jobs and bolstering revenue streams, but it must be done in a way that does not cause lasting detrimental impact to the existing taxpayers who live, work, worship, and relax here, where they call home. A developer should be held accountable for their fair share of the costs for recommended road, bike, and pedestrian improvements to accommodate the development from which they take their profits. They will sell or lease properties and be off for the next venture, leaving the public and the county to deal with any inadequacies. In addition, though, DelDOT must be held accountable for ensuring road improvement projects are completed in a reasonable time frame to achieve concurrency.
Mr. Franning, we appreciate the tone and positive nature of your comments. Could you conclude them shortly? I know you don't have a yellow light up there, but if you could wrap them up in the next few seconds, that'd be great. Sorry to interrupt.
I was hoping that the nice things I said at the beginning would give me another minute.
You already have 2 minutes on the next
one. I hear you. When evaluating redevelopment ordinances changes or other UDC changes that affect our quality of life, please consider all of the factors that you, as our county representatives, need to have spelled out in order to make informed decisions. Thank you.
Thank you again for your comments and both the tone and substance of your comments. Please sign in, state your name for the record, and follow all rules of etiquette, as I'm sure you will. Or better.
Good evening, Mr. President, members of council. My name is Michael McDermott. I'm an attorney in Wilmington, president of the Canterbury Hills Civic Association. My family and I have lived in the county for more than a decade. I appreciate this opportunity to address council on the important issues of redevelopment. I rise in support of the efforts to address the failures of the current redevelopment scheme, efforts undertaken by Councilman Sheldon, Tackett, Retta, and Councilman Weiner. I rise to encourage this council's ongoing, careful, and thorough consideration for the kind of needed changes to the redevelopment provisions of the UDC that will both restore public confidence in land use decisions concerning redevelopment and also inspire business and economic confidence in land use decisions concerning redevelopment. As I understand them, all of the competing ordinances presented by measures Sheldon, Retta, Tackett, and Weiner, and all of the amended and substituted language are really animated, both in spirit and application, by attempts to strike the right balance between these fundamental and critical interests. At bottom, there must be public confidence in the redevelopment process in order for there to be economic confidence in the redevelopment process. And they do indeed go hand in hand. And that confidence begins and ends with County Council's approach to amending the redevelopment provisions. Both constituencies, the business community and citizens, need to know that pending redevelopment amendments, just like resulting redevelopment applications, will be addressed and processed uniformly and fairly, and there will be some measure of public input as to community impacts and some measure of accountability for nonconformities that are identified during the process. And both constituencies ultimately benefit from an open and thoughtful redevelopment and application and approval process, because it provides greater business certainty and engenders public confidence, which thereby prompts fewer costly challenges and disruptions alleging capricious land use decisions. In closing, while I have a friend who insists that the concept is an oxymoron, good government is not an oxymoron. Good government begins with open and thoughtful debate. Good government requires compromise and consolidation, of the most well-reasoned policy ideas and the best available language drafted to implement such policies. I urge compromise and consolidation of the various pending ordinances seeking to amend redevelopment provisions of the UDC, which benefits the county and its businesses and its citizens. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. McDermott. Councilman Smiley.
Yes, Mr. McDermott. I just didn't want you to think I wasn't listening. Appreciate your comments, except for the reference that there's a redevelopment scheme. Rather negative, and I disagree with it.
I should say redevelopment provision. Thank you.
I do listen, I do read, I do learn. Thank you.
Ms. Snyder, please sign in, step forward, state your name for the record. And if there's anybody else interested in making comments tonight, in the next 3 minutes, please find your way over to the right side of the chamber tonight and sign in and be ready to address council. Please state your name for the record.
Lisa Snyder, members of council. I want to thank council for tabling this ordinance and going back to the drawing board and taking a look at these two ordinances together and making a joint effort, as the planning board had recommended last week. I appreciate the cooperation amongst council. Your decisions affect everyone in New Castle County, and we look to you, our council representatives, to do what's best for New Castle County. So I came up here to thank you for going back to the table to take a look at these ordinances to come up with a reasonable solution to redevelopment. It's not an easy process, and there are a lot of considerations. Number one, I'm sure, is economic development. Sometimes, though, we sell economic development on the backs of our citizens, the people who work here. So please take a careful look at this, and we're asking that, you know, you consider everything, including provisions by DelDOT for TISs. They are so important to us. You know, with all the changes at DelDOT right now, we need council to work with DelDOT and come to the right decisions. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Snyder. Anybody, any other member of the public wishing to step forward and make comment at this time? Seeing none, close the floor to the public.
Motion to adjourn.
I have a motion to adjourn and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Meeting is adjourned.